I used to be an adventurer like you, and I took an arrow in the knee.
Aloha, everybody. Welcome back to Troll Scroll, episode 20 of your Elder Scrolls Online podcast. Yes, we've been gone for a long time, but it's irrelevant because we are back. And boy, what a huge, huge week. Oh my God, E3's been insane. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo. I don't know what Nintendo's doing, but they're still alive. Elder Scrolls is apparently coming out on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Like, crap. It's been an intense week. A ton of cool-looking games coming out, too. But, man, what an E3.
Buzzy E3. Yeah.
What an E3. Sophie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Fantastic. Doing better. How are you?
I'm swell. Thank you for
asking. Okay.
Thank you for asking. And Tomei LaPerrier.
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. I'm ready to talk about the Elder Scrolls Online and the new news that it entails. Oh my gosh. Crazy. This is
crazy.
Insane, the direction that ZeniMax Online is taking this game. And that's something we're going to definitely talk about on tonight's episode. You know, if it's a good thing or if it's a bad thing. So let's dive right into it, shall we, guys?
Sure.
Yeah, let's go.
What do you guys think? We'll start off with the biggest announcement that was unveiled at the Sony press conference when they were talking about the PlayStation 4. Elder Scrolls Online is coming out on PS4. And then ZeniMax Online totally relaunched their website and came out with a game trailer saying that it's also coming out on Xbox One, and that the targeted release date has been postponed by about a year to spring 2014.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
I was not expecting that. Where are you guys?
No.
No.
No, I was not expecting that at all.
Oh, my God.
Because ZeniMax Online has been very, very... In the past, I know, just looking at their Twitter feed, they were reluctant. No, we are not coming out on consoles. We are only coming out on PC and Mac. And I guess, thinking about it, we should have known that, you know, that's questionable. Because they've recanted on so many things, like...
First person.
Yeah. Are dragons going to be in the game?
Yeah.
I mean, they... they're just a fickle game. Or it's all part of their marketing scheme. I don't know if it's intentional or if it's unintentional. I think it's unintentional because...
Miscommunication, perhaps.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, we'll go with conspiracy.
Tim, what do you think?
I think ZeniMax needs to get their act together. The only reason I say that is not because I dislike ZeniMax or anything like that, but it's not good to mislead your fan base, right? And I know that you want to be kind of, you know, in the shadows, kind of hiding your information because that's what good marketers do, right? They don't show their hand, they don't show all their cards right away, kind of hold it close to their chest, and then they show you tidbits here and there to keep you interested and drag you along until the game comes out, right? But it doesn't look good, and it doesn't do you very good credibility-wise when you say one thing publicly multiple times to your fan base, and then you turn around and do a completely, you know, complete opposite of that. You know, we're not launching on consoles. Oh, by the way, PS4, Xbox One, you know, here you go, have fun. And it's just, it kind of, you know, it takes away from it, in my opinion. It takes away from their credibility, and it kind of makes what they're going to be showing and sharing with us in the future not less reliable, but you look at it and you're kind of like, okay, you know, they're promising all this sweet stuff for RVR and Cyrodiil, or they're promising, you know, adventure zones or perhaps raids in the future or something like that. You know, what are we going to be able to expect? You know, are we going to be misled perhaps in the future, or are we going to be, you know, sort of guided down the right path? I don't know now at this point, because their track record is sort of, like I said, spiraling a little out of control. So I hope that they get their stuff on lockdown and they kind of figure out, you know, before making a major announcement, where they're going to go. You know, they shouldn't, if they wanted to deny or save, because I'm assuming they wanted to save, obviously, this announcement for E3, right? I mean, that's sort of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have dodged the question instead of just straight out saying, no, we're not launching on, you know, consoles. Unless they were saying, no, we're not launching on the current gen consoles. I mean, okay. That, I guess you could say, would be...
Yeah.
But even still.
Will that be even more misleading?
Right. So I mean, I just think that at that point, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, lying to your consumer and kind of misleading them, and I think that it doesn't sit very well. Doesn't sit very well. No, that's not to say that ZeniMax isn't a great company and they're not credible and their work isn't going to be great and the game's not going to be fun. And that's not what I'm saying. You know, we're still going to have
that's exactly what you're saying.
No, we're still going to have. Yeah. We're still going to have a great, I'm hoping we're still going to have a great product and a great game to play, but I don't think that ZeniMax is really doing well when it comes to PR with their fan base. So.
Sophie, you're in the video game industry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, what's your professional opinion?
My professional opinion?
Yeah. Do you think they are... This is all part of their marketing plan, where they like to, you know, sort of tear everyone's hopes down and then bring it back up with a crazy surprise that builds a ton of hype? Or do you think that this is seriously an issue internally within their company, where they're always going back and forth on
okay.
what they think
well,
is
Well, let's going to just look game. At the... Not the console now, but at the release date being pushed. As we know, beta invites have been underway. There's been some beta weekends going on and some testing going on. So obviously something is going on with the testing or something that caused the whole push of the release date. Probably they have some, you know, I don't know if it's PvP or anything, but they, you know, obviously have some things to polish before the release. So I'm assuming that's something that came into the beta, and since I didn't get into the beta, I have no clue what it is. But it's not a bad thing to push release dates. Like, it's something so common, and I can tell you, like, 90% of the time, it's worth it. You know, and I'm not angry about the date being pushed back. I'm disappointed, but in the end, I'm sure it's a very good decision that they're making. As far as consoles, I have lots of people, even real life friends, that were like, yeah, you know, I've played The Elder Scrolls, like Skyrim on PS3. I'm not going to play Elder Scrolls Online because I'm not a PC gamer. So now that it's going to come out on PS4 and Xbox One, they're going to get into that, you know, marketing kind of field, you know, these target people that they wouldn't have had before. So it is a very good thing. And I mean, even if there's people that were saying like, you know, hey, I'm going to play Elder Scrolls Online on PC, and they change their mind and say, wow, you know, it's going to be on PS4 now, I'm going to play on PS4. It doesn't shoot ZeniMax in the foot at all. It just makes more possibilities. The only concern I have with dividing that into consoles and PC Mac, I'm more concerned about the population now. In PvP, like, or even in the game in long term. In short term, you know, there's gonna be thousands of people and, you know, it's gonna lag all over the place probably. But in the long run, you have these people playing consoles together and these people playing PC. As game grow, the issue I see in PvP zones is like, hello, where's everyone? You know, I wanna kill someone, you know? So in the long run, and I speak here very long run, having it divided might not be too awesome. But I personally think, I don't know if it's a marketing like plan or it just plays out that way, but I see it as being two positive things. So I'm not like Tim, like I'm all grumpy and angry. I'm fine
well,
with
there.
That.
Well, there. Wait a minute.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
Hold
Tim,
the phone.
Hold the phone. Being called out.
I'm not grumpy or angry. I'm just saying that I don't. I agree that being that having a pushback is for the best. I mean, I would say that a majority of the time, like you said, it's for the best. There's so many MMOs out there that if they would have had another year.
Oh my
year,
god, you agree with me? It's so awesome.
I'm glad that you think it's good that I agree with you. But but what I'm getting at is that it's just. I'm disappointed in the way they're handling their consumers. That's all, because you know it doesn't help if you don't have the consumers on your side. And I'm not saying everybody thinks that ZeniMax is a bunch of liars now. I'm just saying that I feel that they should handle the way that they release information a little bit better, because
I haven't seen anyone being frustrated about, oh, you know, they said PS4, that's not what they said before, or anyone upset because of the first person, and even if they said that before, it's more like pleasant surprises. I don't think the reaction to that is bad or negative in any
even
way.
Still, it's even still, it doesn't make it right to tell your consumer one thing and then follow up with a different. Still, regardless, doesn't make it right, and that's what I'm getting at. You know, again, ZeniMax isn't a bad company, and The Elder Scrolls isn't going to fail because of the way they're releasing information. I just feel that they could do it in a much better way. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and there is some controversy. If you go on The Elder Scrolls Online Reddit, fan sites on their forums, and even guild forums, there is a lot of controversy, specifically regarding guilds being divided now.
Mm-hmm.
Based mm-hmm. on what console yeah. they're going to play it at. And it wouldn't be an issue if it was cross-platformed. But the Xbox One is going to have its own mega server, and the PlayStation 4 is going to have its own mega server. And luckily, the PC and Mac will share a mega server.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is creating division like that, that is a controversy, that is an issue that could have been avoided if ZeniMax Online maybe didn't release the information like they did, you know, at E3. I mean, they've been talking since the very first day, since that very first Game Informer issue, that they were going to be PC and Mac only. And when you get people in that mindset and, you know, they start building the mm-hmm. communities before the game, it becomes a very big hindrance and very inconvenient when something impedes on that because of a fickle idea or a change in direction. What do you guys think? I'm making an assumption here. We still do not know the business model of TSO. But I am 99.9% positive that it is going to be free-to-play since it is going out on consoles. And console gamers have been conditioned these past several years that they pay for their online servers through their console. And not even, that's just Xbox Live players. PlayStation Online players don't have to pay. And I doubt that TSO is going to try to break the ice with that and break that tradition. Because if they do, I don't think it will be successful. I really don't think a lot of people will pay $15 a month to play The Elder Scrolls Online on console. So what's your take? Do you guys think that a subscription model is likely for console gamers for this game in general? And if you don't, if it is free to play, what's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I think I don't really see console gamers. I'm not saying that it's not possible. It is definitely possible for ZeniMax to charge
$15 a month or just a subscription fee in general for console gamers. I just don't see that happening because it's something that they're not really used to. And, you know, I know a lot of my friends that I've played games with in the past that are strictly console gamers. You know, I asked them back before, a lot of Star Wars fans that were looking forward to, any new Star Wars game that was coming out. And I had found out about Tor and I had talked to him about it. I'm like, hey, you know, you guys can be playing this game with me. And they're like, yeah, definitely, whatever. You know, it sounds good. It'd be sweet. And, you know, then I explained to them that it'd be $15 a month. And they're like, why would I pay for a game after I've already bought it? Like, that's ridiculous. I'm eventually going to be paying more money.
Console mentality.
Right. I'm going to be paying for a game. I'm going to be paying, you know, if I play this game for a couple of years, I'm going to be paying, you know, twice as much as I did for the game originally. Why would I keep doing that? You know, it's a waste of money. And, you know, you try explaining to them, well, it's for servers and, you know, content that's coming out and so on and so forth, and they just don't understand it because it's something that they're not used to. It's just something that they're not interested in doing.
Totally.
And I don't really see them being, you know, on the same wavelength as MMO gamers, as PC gamers, when it comes to paying $15 a month. So I would not be surprised at all if the game ended up going free-to-play or started off as a free-to-play MMO simply because they need to appeal to the console gamers. And I mean, there's a lot of games. Like, console games, you know, they always have map packs and stuff that come out. You know, a lot of console games that come out nowadays have, you know, more microtransactions, DLC that's been coming out. And I think that's definitely something that they're going to try to appeal to is to continue to keep the, you know, PlayStation Store and so on and so forth filled with that kind of content. And the same thing will be available for PC and Mac users. We'll just have it, whatever, some shop.
I'm really puzzled about it. Like, if they don't monetize it with, you know, subscription fees, what would it be? You know, cosmetics? Like, what kind of cosmetics do you have? Like, cool helmets, you know? Right. Would that work in such games? I don't know. And you surely don't want it to turn pay to win. There are some games on consoles, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't played consoles in forever, but there are some games you can play single player, but you have to pay a fee for the multiplayer version. Now I'm wondering, like, could they even look out Cyrodiil and like, hey, if you want PvP, you have to pay multiplayer stuff, you know?
That would be so
on console.
Stupid.
That would be terrible.
It would be. And the game's being developed anyways as an MMO, so it's not, you're going to need people anyways, even if you were playing quote-unquote an offline versions. So I don't even
Well,
really
technically, obviously, yeah, in the PvE zones, but they would have to charge something if they would make a subscription
That's
fee,
like
whether it be... Yeah, it'd be crazy. I don't know. I haven't even thought about that.
God, that would
it's
suck.
It's sick.
That would suck so bad if they went that route, because that would deteriorate the PvP community. And that would deteriorate guilds. What if all of your guild members aren't paying for that service? So how is that going to work? Yep. Some of you guys are going to go in, and some of you guys are going to stay in the PvE.
That would be a suicide to do that.
You know what I think is funny? And it's sort of depressing. But honestly think that there are a good majority of console gamers that think TESO is Elder Scrolls 6. And they think that there's like a multiplayer mode or something.
Right.
I really, really sincerely think that. And I think that's a bad thing, because when it does come out, so many players
that's
are going
what
to
they
be
want.
And yes, first person's going to be in there, but it's not going to be the, you know, it's not going to be the first person. It's going to be a lot different because of balancing issues and all of that jazz. But
that's scary.
It is scary when you think
scary.
About it.
Scary.
And
another
thing, a lot of other people are saying this, and I don't understand why they're saying this, but some people are saying that ZeniMax Online will have a subscription model for PC and Mac users, but console gamers won't need to pay a subscription. How does that make any sense? So
that'd be like, why would I pay
on PC? And Mac players are paying for the development cost of the game and, you know, the company to profit, basically. And console gamers get the future development content that PC and Mac players are helping pay for.
Oh my god, this is so confusing. Like, what would they do? I'm kind of wondering if the whole PC Mac will be the same as the console games, in the sense that, you know, we have like the typical MMO and PC and Mac, and you have like the PvP zones and whatnot, and you pay subscription, and that's how it works. We know how it works. And if they want to not make the console players play, it feels a bit unfair to the people that are going to pay for it on PC, unless people on consoles don't have access to everything that PC version will have, which is kind of silly in a sense. Because why would you divide it like that?
I don't think they would. That would just be a slap in the face to PC and Mac gamers.
But you do know people that would play consoles if it's on consoles, and now they're going to play it because it's on there, and they would not have played it on PC. So whatever it is, they're going to play it.
Well,
if it's just buy the game once.
My fear is I don't want it to become like DC Universe Online, because that is the last big game, the last big MMORPG that launched on consoles, and it died after like 3 months. It was just donezo. And they tried so hard to save it. They launched it on console, and it did have a subscription model, but it was failing so hard that they made it free to play and microtransaction based, but it was too late. And I don't want that to happen to TESO. Because
I hope this game lasts forever.
It's going to be contagious, because all those players are going to talk smack about it, and it's going to be so bad. Because their player base is diluted between the different platforms. So it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. I mean, man, I don't know. The whole Mega Server thing, it's starting to make sense why they went the Mega Server route. There's so many games. Bungie's Destiny, Ubisoft's The Division. There's so many games out there that are like going this sort of MMO route that we saw at E3, and TESO's one of them. So do you get, like, this whole Mega Server thing, and how I feel like it's not really going to be hundreds and hundreds of players playing together in one world, unless you're only in Cyrodiil. But everything else is just going to be, like, phases where you're with your friends, just like Bungie Destiny and the other multiplayer games that are coming out. What are some other ones?
Right.
I feel like this is a trend now with the video game industry, is they're going this semi-MMO route. It's not a real MMO, but it's sort of semi. It sort of, like, mimics it. It's only an MMO in some scenarios.
Wanted to keep the phasing down to a minimum, and I think a lot of the time, I think one of the biggest things is MMOs nowadays are trying to go more of a cinematic storytelling from that kind of point of view. They're trying to bring more of the single player RPG aspects into the MMO universe, because you know what is the most painful thing that you have to do in an MMO? It's grinding, right? I mean, nobody likes to sit there and continually do the same thing over and over and over again, because it's just not fun. It's not engaging. It's even when you have friends, it's still really not that fun. And I think a lot of developers nowadays are starting to try to go that more storytelling route, and for that, they need to be able to make you feel like what you're doing in the game during the story is actually having an impact. And the only way they can do that is by phasing. We know there's going to be phasing in TESO. They've said that. When you go to a town, people are going to clap for you. A town may be destroyed for you and not for your friend. I mean, the only way they can do that is by phasing, right? And so I think we're going to see phasing. I just hope that we don't see it on the level of, you know, it being everywhere and everything. Yeah, I want to be able to enjoy the game and still have fun playing with my friends. I want it to feel like an MMO. I know a lot of people said that Tor had a way too much phasing going on in their game, and I feel like Tor did it okay. I didn't think that Tor really had too much phasing, but I guess it comes down to I really wouldn't want it to be over the top, and I don't think anybody does, because at some point, at the end of the day, you're trying to develop an MMO, and you know, you have to remember that players want to be together. They want to be social. That's why they're playing an MMO. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think
if it comes down to either story or MMO aspects, you really have to side with the MMO aspects on that side. Because we've seen it with Tor, right? Tor tried doing so much with their story, and even Tor, I don't think there's been a more, I don't think there's a better candidate out there than BioWare to make a storytelling MMO. And Tor, from a story standpoint, did phenomenal. But even that wasn't enough. You know, and it comes down to the lack of content and the lack of, you know, keeping players together and whatnot. And I feel like if they sacrifice that, or if they sacrifice the MMO aspect for the storytelling aspect, it's going to hurt them in the long run.
If you don't have any community, it's not going to last. That's like a given.
I'm worried about two things. Tissot going free to play because it's on consoles, and it meets the same fate Tor did because they're not getting enough money from the free to play model where they can continue to produce and unveil new content. Now, don't get me wrong, Matt Fuhrer did say in an interview by Game Trailers during the E3 conference that they already do have content ready post release. But so does every other MMO that releases. It depends on how long. What's the longevity of the content you plan to release? And I hate to always go back to it, but Tor is stagnant now. And they're redoing and rehashing old events. That's their new content. And it's not new. And my second fear is it's not going to feel... I guess it will because of this mega server technology. The game will always feel like it's alive and active because with the mega server technology, they don't need to close down and merge servers. They can do it seamlessly because everyone's connected. But if the communities are spread out, you have a console community, you know, that's not even on the same page. It's basically two communities, a community per console. You know, are they going to receive expansion content and new patches the same time PC and Mac players are? I doubt it. I doubt it. I bet you it's going to be no different than Skyrim DLC. And sometimes it's like 2 to 3 months later when they get new content. And what incentive do console players have to play Tissot if they're not going to get that same content flow that comes out as frequently and consistently with PC and Mac users?
It'd have to be the very same time. If it's not the same time, like, people are going to be like, oh, what's the point in playing consoles over a PC? And I haven't been able to catch up with it. Maybe you have, Tom, but how does Defiance does it? Because they do have, like, console and they have PC version. I think the patch notes are released on the same day for the boat, you know.
I know, do you guys know Eve Online's Dust514?
Yeah. Yeah.
The first person shooter that's connected with Eve Online, blah, blah, blah. They didn't launch on Xbox 360 because Xbox 360 has different terms contractually on patching.
Right.
It's extremely expensive. Where Sony, on the other hand, gives CCP free reign. They can patch Dust 514 whenever they want, but Microsoft has almost this, like, checkpoint system where, like, the developer needs to submit the content that they want to patch. It needs to go through Microsoft and get approved. And then it's, like, Microsoft has employees that input it into the game. It's not like CCP is totally working directly with Dust 514, but Microsoft's like a middleman, and it's not like that for Sony with the PlayStation 3. And I'm assuming that that's not going to change with the next generation of consoles. Especially, and that's a whole other tirade with, you know, how much negative criticism Xbox One's getting.
Oh, man.
But I cannot see the content coming out on all platforms at the same time. Unless, and this is what sucks too, unless they release the content when it's ready for all of them together, which means that PC and Mac users, their content may be ready, but we're not going to release it until we get it ready on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
I could see them doing that, kind of holding off on the information or the new content until the content's ready for all systems. But the only thing that gets me thinking is back when Dawnguard came out. Okay, They couldn't get it ready for the PS3 in time. They were having issues, and even with Hearthfire, they were having issues for the PS3. And I mean, that's part of the reason why I ended up getting it on the PC was because I didn't want to wait for them to come out with Dawnguard for the PS3. For Skyrim, that's what I'm talking about. For anybody who doesn't know where I'm going with this, but you know, they still released it exclusively for the Xbox, and then they said, you know what, here it is for the PC. Sorry, PS3 users, we'll get it out to you when we can get it out to you. Since they're three separate mega servers and they're not connected in any way, I don't see why if something came out for the PC, they would just go ahead and launch it for the PC and Mac and then PS3 and then, you know, hey, Xbox users, you know, you're going to have to wait until we're ready. Because, I mean, look at Minecraft. Minecraft's the same way. Minecraft PC is, like, obviously the most up-to-date version, but the Xbox version is, you know, a couple patches behind because they can't update as frequently. Mm-hmm. So I don't see why they wouldn't update each mega server, so to speak, when they're ready to go.
It's really, really interesting to see how this is going to pan out. When I heard the news, I wasn't too excited. I'm not excited at all, actually. It's good that it's coming out on next-gen consoles. Yay, hooray, they can broaden their target audience, but that target audience will not remain. It will not be there consistently like a PC or Mac MMO community because it's console gamers. And that's just how it is. Console gamers switch games every 2 to 3 months. That's how it is. It's so hard to have a clan devoted to one game on console because there's another shooter that comes out and it's the next big thing. And I'm not saying TESO will have that short of a life expectancy, but it will be significantly shorter than that of PC and Mac. It will be totally different. It won't be that much more than another first-person shooter coming out.
Yeah, it'd be more casual, definitely.
I don't know how they're going to do it. And then Matt Fuhrer was talking about how the controls on the console are going to be different and feel like Skyrim on console, where the PC version is going to have the action bars and stuff and be more in the traditional sense of an MMO. And I was a little disappointed to hear that news. Yeah, it's still going to feel like Skyrim a little bit if you play in first person and stuff, but it sounds like they're even changing the controls drastically to match what console gamers are used to.
Yep, they're matching a customer base.
And I don't know. I really
frankly,
have
it's
a
clever.
Lot of doubt about this. It is clever. It is clever because they are accommodating, you know, a specific half of their target audience so that they don't need to adapt to the traditional MMO, you know, play style. But
But what does it take away from PC users? Like, let's be selfish for a sec. Okay, we're going to play on PC. And now with the release of the game on consoles, what we can earn from that is possibly free to play. Maybe the worst thing we can get is delayed patch notes if they want to make it match. So what do we lose, really?
Well, I think we're going to lose
community. It dilutes
community.
As I said earlier, my worry is just being divided.
But also, I think content's going to become stagnant as well, just like Tor. And in the end game, there isn't going to be enough, even though there is RVR, that's not enough. And that's definitely not going to be enough for console gamers to stay, because...
Mm-hmm.
The console gamers, I'm not saying, guys, for people listening, I'm not seeing all console gamers think like this, okay? I'm not stereotyping. But the majority of console gamers, they have a shorter retention on focus, on what they focus on. And it's because there's always a new game coming out for the console. That's like, huge. You know, Call of Duty comes out, and then Halo comes out, and they switch over to Halo, then the next Call of Duty comes out, and it's just, a community never sticks on console games. In my experience, it doesn't. And I don't know. I think that's huge, two huge negatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to say because you have kind of two types of console players even there. You have like those that play casually with family or their kids or whatever. And you have those console players that, you know, have played Skyrim hardcore for 300, 400 hours plus. And they will do that on TESO. And that's the same for PC. You're going to have people that are going to try it out, play here and there, you know, can't play very much. And you have going to have the same thing, hardcore people. But is it going to be balanced in a sense? I don't think so, but we'll see.
I want you guys to imagine this too. Jumping on your console, picking up the controller and your PlayStation headset or your Xbox headset and communicating with hundreds and hundreds of players. You can do it. But it's so much harder on console. I mean, it's easier to communicate with the keyboard with other players that you're not talking to verbally over the microphone.
Right.
I mean, but for console, it's so much more challenging.
Obviously, they're going to have to accommodate for that. And it goes back to what are they going to do. You could pull up the keyboard that you type in with your controller, you know what I'm saying? You don't actually have a keyboard, but you're moving your thumb pads around trying to type in a message. Right, and it'd be a pain in the butt. Like, nobody wants to do that. You could just have everybody talking over the microphone, which is also going to be a pain in the butt because nobody wants to do that either. So what are you going to have? Separate channels for different people? So you've got trade channel 1 through 15, and you just go through the trade channels, and it divides people up, and that's how you communicate with people, trying to talk to them, you know, jump into this channel and see if anybody's buying your sword or whatever. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. And it's going to be an interesting thing because...
Whenever you hear voices of people on console, no offense, but it's usually 6 years old kids, so I've never been able to play console without muting everyone. I don't know if voice would work very well.
Absolutely. Same thing here. I mean, you always get those people that you can't stand, because you play with your guild, right? You have people over the microphone, but those are people that you enjoy playing with, right?
Right.
On a console, you've got some guy that's always yelling or singing, or some kid that's just raging because he thinks he's the best or something like that. Or it doesn't even have to be a kid. It could be any guy that thinks he's the best or she thinks they're the best. It's just, it's like, that's a whole different beast to tackle. And I don't know. It seems like the communication is going to be a big problem. And that's another aspect of an MMO is communication and community. And if they can't bring that to the console, I don't think the console versions are
clearly
going to be doing that well.
Since you can't type as much on consoles, you know, unless you have this super awesome, like, USB keyboard or whatever, but they would probably have to enforce voice chat. And there's bad points about that. The one being is that not everyone wants to voice chat. You know, even if it's there, would you just go and chat to strangers? You know, for some people, it's really, really not fun to do. They did that in Neverwinter, and I cried laughing when I realized my mic was on. I was in a group, and as soon as you join a group, the mic goes on, and you can voice with the people that are with you. And I assume if that's one thing that they would implement into the console, or even the PC games, it's like, I was screaming and singing, and, hey girl, your mic is on. I know. You know, it's in the house, I would say in the living room compared to an office or PC room. Usually, it tends to be a bit more noisy, so I'm scared.
Well, and you know what's interesting is 2 months ago, when Paul Sage did that interview, I believe it was with MMORPG.com, and he was talking about mega servers and how they're going to survey gamers before the game comes out so that they could set you to the server that was appropriate for your play style and stuff. mm-hmm. or like, you know, your play style, your friends, etc. And he said that there's going to be servers for people that prefer not to group up. Single player gaming. You know?
Yeah.
And I bet you $100 that the majority of console players are going to go that route because they want to do Elder Scrolls 6.
They want to explore. They want to kill mobs, you know?
They yep. want to be the only oh, yeah. one to do their thing and be the hero in their own universe. And yes, there will be other players running around, but it won't even feel like they're other players because they're not communicating with each other because those other players don't want to communicate with you. And it's going to be really interesting how this...
Screw you, buddy. I'm single player.
Yeah, like, man.
Unless you can, like, escape yourself into a solo instance, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, with this mega server technology, you might actually be able to do that.
Let's solo the entire game. And I've never even seen it or heard anything like that. Like, a single-player game that can be, like, full-fledged PvP, three-realm MMO at the same time. It's kind of exciting.
Well, I'm glad you're excited. I'm depressed.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm excited at all for that. I mean, granted, it
sounds
like
Bungie's Destiny. Yeah. Like,
but Bungie's fine.
I do like Bungie, but Bungie's Destiny.
I don't know. I've never done Bungie.
You can play the game totally single player if you want. You can play with a handful of friends if you want. Or you can play with a handful of random people if you want. But it's only a handful. And then... And I really think it's going to be the same way for TESO.
Yep.
Except when you get to RVR. And that's when it feels like an MMO because there's hundreds of players. Damn. But other than that, you're going to be in zones, and there might only be 8 to 10 people in your zone.
Right. I mean, they do have, like, adventure zones, which they said are for smaller groups, and then they said up to 24. You know, for the bigger groups, they're not talking about it very much right now, but they said, you know, they'll have content for 24-man groups that go in and do this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I get what you're saying. You know, it's kind of, it sucks when you're playing an MMO and you feel like you're the only person there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not fun to run around and be the only person doing...
Oh, there are so many players that want a solo. That's their drive, you right. know? I'm just going to solo. Into the MMO.
Right.
Makes it like sneaky. Yeah. Especially you can, I don't even know if that, you know, if you go and you play your stealth class, like not your stealth, but your rogue, and you like being sneaky and you're solo, you know, it's fun. But matter of perspectives, I assume.
It really is. And it's depressing because as time goes on, it sounds like TESO is becoming less of an MMO. And more of an Elder Scrolls game. And I understand why they're doing that. But it's still disappointing because if it's becoming more of an Elder Scrolls game, it's becoming more of a console game. And there's going to be multiplayer elements, but it's not going to be a true MMO. And that's going to shake my world on my perspective of TESO, because from the beginning... It sounded like they were aiming to make a legitimate, massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
Right. Mm-hmm, that's what I thought at first.
And it seems like they're trying to adapt now, especially after this past week, to a console market, and there could be so many repercussions to that adaption. And
I hope we don't have any big surprise again down the road. Because that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this was a crazy surprise.
I mean, what else could they do? Launch on the Wii U?
I remember there were 8 of us. There were 8 of us watching in Mumble E3 together, and they made that announcement, and everyone in my Mumble channel was like... Just like, are you serious? Really?
Yep.
Like, no one was really excited. Everyone's like, shit.
But everyone in the guild planned to play on PC.
They did plan to play on PC.
So, I mean, let's just say, like, my sister, she only plays console, and she, well, she played all the other Elder Scrolls on PC because it was only on PC. She played Skyrim on PS4, and now she's been spending years playing console only, and she was like, I would have played Elder Scrolls Online if it had been on console. And when she heard it, she was so happy. You know, and I'm sure there was lots of people like her.
I get that.
Can I say?
But at the same time, too, I mean, it's just everybody was planning on playing on the PC, but that's because that was their only option. And now that they have multiple options, I feel like there are going to be some people out there in different guilds or different communities that are going to say, you know what, I'm going to play on a console because that's what I do. And okay, fine. You know, it is what it is. It's your choice. You can do whatever you want. But it just goes back to the division of the community. It goes back to taking away from what an MMO is and kind of making it console adaptable. That's even a word, you know? Yep. And it's like, it's just like now we're trying to make it fit for a console. And I don't really see it being super effective on the console. So. But who knows? There's a first time for everything, right? So maybe Tisa will hit off the console really well, and it'll be the first MMO to do very well on both the Xbox One and PS4, and at the same time do very well on the PC and Mac. I mean, I hope so. You know, fingers crossed for it, but I'm not going to get my hopes up.
Well, just about the whole way the game is being played, even if they adapt the UI... You know, of the gameplay like they did with Skyrim versus the PC version. It's so much easier to play on PC when you play a mage and you have like a hundred spells, you know, it can just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then when you're on console, you know, okay, left and you have to go up. Okay, it's like my spell, and you can't pause. It's an MMO. Okay, you can't just go, hey, wait, you know, don't hit me. I'm going to select my spells. It's more going to be like a, I don't even know how it's going to be played out or how you do one spell, but how many spells can you have queue binded per se on your controller?
Well,
so anyway, I'm going to play on PC because I'm going to be a caster and I play on PC.
Well, I think that might be, that might be one of the reasons why we only have a 6-slot UI for toggling abilities and stuff, because the console, you can easily fit 6 different commands. You know, you get L1, R1, L2, R2, whatever.
Right.
But, you know, on a console like, or on a PC, like you said, you know, you have a full keyboard. There's a lot more hotkeys, obviously, you can put on there. I think that they've known for a while now, obviously, that they've been going to go the console route. And that might have been a reason why they put the UI down to 6 hotkeys as opposed to your typical, you know, 24 hotkeys or whatever they have. And other MMOs, you know, I think it's something that they've been thinking about for a while, and they just said, oh yeah, you know, we just wanted to make the UI more like Skyrim, and okay, that makes sense, right?
You know, but, yeah, they've had to have known for a while. I mean, you can't just go and say, hey, you guys, gonna go on PS4, you know, choop, just like that. Yeah, it was planned all along.
Oh, I don't think it was planned. I really don't. I want to, but I don't think it was planned. Just because of their past track record. And I think that's all we can base it on. I mean, we don't know what goes on in their studios, but you can base it on what's happened and how they've promoted things in the past, right?
Sure.
You know, I mean...
Right, right. Well, I say all along, it doesn't mean like from day one, but at least for a few months, when you see all this old, oh, we're going to go first person and these changes, now it starts to get fishy.
They postponed the game a year, and they've been focusing on... They were saying 2013, and
I'm not so happy about Christmas anymore.
Released, maybe they were like, let's check this out. And they did, and it worked, because the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are very similar to PC specifications. And they were probably like, this is business 101. Let's broaden our customer base. It will be beneficial. We'll make more bang for our buck in the first month. But not in the long term. And the only reason I say that is we've seen so many other MMOs fail at this. They try to broaden their target audience so much. where they spread themselves thin and they do semi-par work on specific aspects in the game. Where if they kept to a niche customer base, they have a longer, you know, life cycle because that niche customer base is loyal to their niche game.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
And I really think that's what happened. I think those dev kits went out. ZeniMax Online was like, let's see what it looks like. Interesting. Oh, man, this is working. Oh, my gosh. We put first person in TESO? It's going to be freaking Elder Scrolls 6! I think that's when they're like, all right, you know what? E3 will announce spring 2014. We have another year to polish up and configure our, you know, the Elder Scrolls Online games to become better compatible and ready for console versions. And then in spring 2014, we'll release the game, not on just PC and Mac, but we'll also get customers from PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
I wonder what it's going to do, like, to release it in the middle of spring. Because I feel like it was a good thing that it was close to Christmas, you know? Oh, look, what am I going to buy to my son or whoever? Oh, there's this new game came out. And you get, you know, of course, around Christmas, so many more games are bought. And now it's middle of spring. I don't know. I don't know. It's just a thought.
I don't think that's a good time to launch a game at all.
No, it's. I don't think so.
It's almost as worse as summer.
Yeah. And that's why you don't see big games
you're out
in summer.
You got high school students that are, you know, wrapping up the end of their school year in spring.
That's when you go outside, though. You're not going to play games.
Yeah, exactly. Spring is like, you got all this sports, you know, starting up. You got baseball going on. Some schools have
football. Same for families, not just students.
Yeah.
You go outside.
It's a lot
kids.
More, it's spring. That's when everyone's like, oh my god, winter's finally over. Let's get the hell out of, you know, the North Pole, and, wow, finally, the sun.
They were definitely not ready. They wouldn't be ready now with what they said this Christmas, and they surely, it would have been worse, I think, if they would have said, oh, you know, Christmas next year. So I guess spring is not that bad, but it's not the best time. But I mean, if you, if you're a fan, you're going to buy it any time of the year anyway.
It's true.
But casual.
That's true.
Yeah,
and then it goes, like you said, back to the whole casual discrepancy. They're launching in a season that isn't that strong for video game sales to begin with. And then that season's followed by the worst downtime for video game sales. Frick. Summer's gonna hit, and the game's going to, like, diminish on consoles. Oh, man.
Well, I was really happy it was going to be released around Christmas because, like, the holidays, I'm going to hardcore, you know, Elder Scrolls Online all during, you know, Christmas holidays. And then it's like, it's coming around Christmas, I'm going to have my vacation, I'm going to go travel, it's going to be warm outside, I'll just play in the evening, you know? Even for a hardcore player, you know, sometimes summer is good. Sometimes. There's sun, you know, the sun.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about the sun sometimes. I think it's
out
there somewhere.
About, but
no, I don't either.
Really know.
I read that in a book.
Sophie's a vampire. So, guys, before we wrap up the show, do you guys have any final questions, comments, concerns? Anything you would like to bring up?
Question for you, too, personally. Will you buy PS4 or Xbox One?
Neither. You know, there was this really funny picture that a guildmate posted.
Yeah.
And it was these two guys in a boxing ring, something like that.
Oh my god, I've seen it today.
One of them was the Xbox One, and one of them was the PlayStation 4. And the spectators all around them were all PC.
I've seen that.
I'll have to find that and like that.
That's awesome.
But, PC all the way. PC all the way. And that sounds hypocritical because I bought a PlayStation 3 impulsively, like, 3 days ago. But
oh my goodness, you did not?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my god.
Last of Us looks so good, and Dust 514 is awesome. But yeah, I really, if I had to buy one PlayStation 4, like Xbox One, what is Microsoft thinking? Did Microsoft Microsoft pulled like an Electronic Arts PR moment this past E3?
Call of Duty.
Oh my god! They were just like, you know what? We're just gonna ignore our consumer base. They don't know what's, you know, they don't know what they want, but we do. And that's what we're gonna do.
If you want to play games, you can just play the 360.
We're not going to, you know, make a system that appeals to them at all, but they'll still buy it because Microsoft's on the box. And I feel like, I don't know if you guys have seen the video where, I forget what his position is in the company, but some high executive in charge of the Xbox One.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Project. Total PR dumbass, by the way. Was asked the question, what do video gamers who don't have online internet access, which console do they buy, since they can't buy the Xbox One? Because the Xbox One is, you can only play it if it's connected to the internet. And he responded, buy an Xbox 360 then. Where did this guy go to college? Like, are you serious? Are you kidding me?
You can buy a 360.
Oh my god. I just wanted to, oh man, just a PR fool. And I have no idea.
It's going to be a meme for a while.
No idea what he was in. And you know what's funny? Is the system that he was in charge of totally reflects the ignorance towards their customer base as that individual does. Makes you wonder, man, the people you attach to certain projects actually impact those certain projects. And I'm going to just rant about this, but that guy, man, total scrub. It's like the most viewed video on YouTube this week. You can check it out. It's like Microsoft executive says buy an Xbox 360 if you don't have online access, something like that. It's on the front page of YouTube. And so PlayStation 4, if I had to, Sophie, if I could have a PC, PlayStation 4. Tim, I'm sorry.
What are you apologizing for?
What about
I'm
you, Xbox One, PS4?
My answer took like 5 minutes.
You're going to have to apologize
guess,
to Tim
I
for
guess,
that.
I guess my option... yeah, you don't have to apologize to me for that. It's fine. I'm going to go with the PS4, definitely. I've been playing PlayStation since it first came out. You know, that was the first system I got after my Super Nintendo. and that's what I've stuck with ever since. So, definitely PlayStation.
Yeah, that'd be me too. I've never played Xbox. I've always played PlayStation, yeah. So...
Loyal consumer base right here. Plus, I mean, I think the system looks better anyways. Not physically. I mean, even though physically I think it does too, but overall, what they offer is better, in my opinion. So,
ta-da.
Good deal. Good deal. Guys and gals, thank you for tuning in to Trollstro. It's been a while. You might be wondering, where's the video format of this episode? Well, it's not there. It doesn't exist. We are going to temporarily, indefinitely, I should say, withdraw from that format of the show, because it's affecting consistency in when the show is released, and we're just not in a position yet where it's worthwhile to devote that amount of time and resources to put up the video aspect of our podcast. When we could be investing that time and effort into other elements of our fan site. For the amount of feedback we get from the videos and stuff, it's just not enough for the amount of time we put into it. Yet, hopefully that changes. I think, too, since the game did get delayed by about a year. Podcast and fan site traffic for all of TESOL sites is sort of going to diminish again until we get closer and closer to the game's launch. People are going to become more excited as we get closer and closer. I mean, this is common sense. And they'll start coming back and visiting these fan sites and watching these podcasts more. And maybe that will be at an appropriate time when we can bring back the video format. But as of now, indefinitely, we are going back to our audio format. The audio format will still be posted on our YouTube channel in iTunes and on Podomatic. So even though you don't see our faces, it's still going to be on YouTube. But we're back. We're back in the game. And we appreciate you for listening to this show. It's been a while. And we hope you enjoyed it. So long. Farewell.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Have a good one.